Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Gurantha Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 ki, Jai Nitai Go Premana. Thank you all for coming to the Bhakti Vedanta course. My heart swells with happiness seeing Murlidhar Prabhu again. I feel like Opal Kumar and the... He hasn't seen his friend for a long time. So. Now there's some realization of the pastime. Good to have you back.
Very good. Okay. So this year is a very important year because this year we'll be studying Canto 10. We've been studying now for almost 13 years. Bhakti Shastri course and then the Bhakti Vaibhav course and then the Bhakti Vedanta course. So we're going very slowly, very thoroughly. 10th canto will take some time because the 10th canto has 90 chapters and the Bhagavatam itself only has 330 chapters. So the bulk of the Bhagavatam is actually the 10th canto. The 10th canto has far more commentary than the other cantos. There's much more commentary, so we'll be going at a very, not slow pace, but we'll be going very thoroughly. It'll be very, it's extremely nectarian. As we know, the 10th canto is considered to be the smiling face of Krishna. So it is Krishna's face. It is the Samambona. Prabhupada calls the canto the Samambona. In Latin, this means like the summit, Samambona. It means like the essence of everything, or the final destination. And according to the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam, then the 10th subject, the final subject, after Mukti, Prabhupada calls Canto 9 Mukti, Canto 10 is called Ashraya. And Ashraya is the 10th subject of the Bhagavatam. Ashraya means our final shelter, the ultimate shelter, which is Krishna himself. So we're about to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. In this canto, we hear about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, and he goes to Dwarka, and then around about chapter 47 or so, and he heads across to, Mathura. He goes to Mathura. And then we see that Krishna, after staying in Mathura, then he heads to Dwarka. So Krishna was on earth for about 125 years. The first 10 or 11 years, Krishna was in Vrindavan. And then he spent 18 years in Mathura. He was attacked by Jarasandha. Jarasandha attacked 17 times. On the 18th occasion, Krishna just left. And he decided at that time to set up a city in the ocean, which is in Gujarat, in Dwarka. And then Krishna spent the last, 96 years also in Dwarka. Most of his pastimes are actually in Dwarka. And then you go into the 11th canto, and we hear about Krishna speaking to Uddhava just before he leaves this world, the Uddhava Gita. And then we hear about Krishna's departure from this world. So first of all, we'll hear about Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. This is the Ashraya. It is said by Rupa Goswami that Krishna in Vrindavan is most perfect. In Dwarka, he is perfect. But in Mathura, he is more perfect. And then in Vrindavan, he is most perfect. So first of all, we'll hear about his most intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. Now, according to Prabhupada, by the time we've finished studying the first 9th cantos, we should be a God-realized soul. So we've just studied 9 cantos quite carefully, and we should be God-realized. Or at least it means we should have some adhikar, some purification is taking place. Because if you hear Krishna's pastimes in a mundane way, you will actually become contaminated. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this, that he says that if you go to Vrindavan, which means also that if you try to understand Krishna's Vrindavan Lila, particularly the conjugal Lila, which is spoken about in the 10th canto, chapter 21, chapters 29 to 33, there are different descriptions of Krishna's conjugal ras. It says that if you try to hear Krishna's pastimes without qualification, the rasa will turn to virasa, which means instead of getting purified and developing love of God, material lust will increase in the consciousness. So therefore we're warned to be very careful. It's not a light subject matter. And I certainly have no qualification to facilitate the 10th canto. We don't have adhika, really, sufficiently to actually enter Krishna's lila. But that is the nature of study, sequential or, how did Prabhupada say it? What's the word he uses? Categorical study. We categorically have gone through the Bhagavad Gita systematically, and this is where you come to. You come to the 10th canto. So you must have sufficient purification. Some purification must have taken place so that we can understand Krishna's pastimes. So the main quality to have to enter into Krishna's lila and his pastimes is dānya, or humility. We have to feel that we are unqualified to enter his pastimes, to hear about Krishna's pastimes. If we feel that we are qualified, then we will not get anything, because obviously we're not qualified, actually speaking. But still we're being asked by Prabhupada to study systematically. Now we're studying systematically and it has come systematically. So even though we don't have the appropriate adhika in one sense, but in another sense, if we're humble and we have proper humility, then we can gradually understand the purports. I mean, Krishna's pastimes will become revealed to us to some extent. And that is the goal, to become purified. But you'll have to read them again and again and again. But this is a rare opportunity, because I know for myself, outside of this course, I don't study the Bhagavatam as deeply. That's the main motivation, personally, why I facilitate this course, is because then I can study the Bhagavatam very deeply and systematically. If I wasn't facilitating this course, I wouldn't study it as deeply, or as categorically, or as carefully. Because unless you're giving it to someone else, and Burujamparu said that to me a few years ago, he said, if you really want to learn something, you have to teach it. If you really want to imbibe the thing, then you have to teach it. So for myself, I'm trying to facilitate the course for that main reason, because I want to understand Krishna's pastimes as deeply as I can. So it is a rare opportunity. And just like when you're taking prasadam, you see Prabhupada, when Prabhupada took prasadam, Prabhupada sat just up there at his table. We see the picture up there. The table is there, the picture is there, the exact spot is there. You can see Prabhupada's plate is there, his cups are there. And Prabhupada would take, 30, 40 minutes to take prasadam, because he would relish it and chew it very carefully. He was savoring. So in the same way we've, at least the way I have facilitated this course, is that we go through it very carefully. And we are savoring as we go. We're not trying to rush through. We could have gone much faster. That's easy to do. But I know some of the other courses, Gangeshwar Prabhu is doing his course, and some of the feedback from the students is because they're going a little faster than what we're going. Some of the devotees feel like they're not able to assimilate like that. So the advantage of going a little faster is that devotees will maybe keep their interest. The advantage of going slower is that we can take more time to go into and try to assimilate the subject matter. So the Bhagavatam is in four books. The 10th canto is in four books. So we'll still be going at the same pace, one book a year. And we'll see if Krishna allows us to finish. I would like to finish the 10th canto. And if Krishna allows, we'll go to canto 11 and then canto 12. And then if Krishna allows, then we'll see what happens after that. So there's no... I've never had any... I've never thought that we would actually finish the Bhagavatam. I thought we'd just keep going until there's only me sitting here. And if no one else is there, then at that point in time, I would probably consider not continuing. But as long as the word is come. Prabhupada says that even if you sit under a tree and you preach to one person, see, that is sufficient. So if anyone comes, we'll keep going. Mainly I'm doing this for my purification. Because mainly I am trying to get purified. and trying to understand Krishna. It's the main reason why I am doing the course. And I expect the main reason why you are doing the course is to purify yourselves. Now, the 10th canto is different to the rest of the Bhagavatam because it is dealing directly with Krishna. And the whole purpose of the Bhagavatam is simply to glorify Krishna. Now, this is the pure glorification. But it is necessary to study it systematically, categorically. That's why Shukadeva Goswami, he taught the Bhagavatam in this order. It went from Canto 1 to Canto 9. He could have gone straight to this point, because Maharaj Pariksit was about to die. And when someone's about to die, then you don't take your time with things. You just get to the point. So it's interesting that he spent 9 cantos going very carefully, systematically. So Maharaj Pariksit only had 7 days. So we can imagine now we're about to hit the 10th canto. I would imagine maybe 4 days has passed, or they're on the 4th day or the 3rd day, like that, 3.5-4 days maybe. So they're going very slowly, very categorically, and if we've studied properly, enough purification has taken place that we should be able to understand something. But we must, as Bhakti Churuswami said one time, he said, when you study the 10th canto, you have to do it on your knees. In other words, you have to be extremely humble. You just get on your knees and you just pray to Krishna. And please, I'm not qualified to be here now. Like sometimes we go to Vrindavan, or sometimes we meet a very advanced devotee or something, and you get that feeling, I'm not qualified to be here. Have you ever felt like that? No? Okay. So I've felt like that. You know, sometimes you're with a very, you think, oh, I'm not qualified to be here, or you're with a very, you're at a very powerful, holy place, you feel, I'm not qualified to be here. So in one sense, we should feel like that when we're studying the 10th canto. I'm certainly feeling like that. I'm feeling, okay, now I've arrived at this place, but, you know, I've facilitated the course up until now, but now I'm going into, like, deep water. So I feel like now it's, you know, I'm out of my depths now. So now I'm just praying that, you know, Krishna can assist all of us, that Guru and Gauranga will assist all of us to extract something, to get some benefit from this 10th canto state. So personally, I'm feeling extremely privileged to have this opportunity to study the Bhagavatam, because Prabhupada said it must be studied. This is different to a casual read. This is a study. Now, we'll be going through different books to assist us. Primarily Prabhupada's Bhaktivedanta Purports. Now, Prabhupada has commented up until chapter 14. Prabhupada left this world in 1977, on November the 14th, at 7:25 in the evening. So Srila Prabhupada left. Up until then, the day before, he was still translating the 13th chapter. So Prabhupada finishes there. And then his disciples, he ordered them, now you finish the Bhagavatam. So we'll be studying Prabhupada's purports and the Bhaktivedanta purports, which means the purports written by Prabhupada's followers. Ridananda Maharaj, Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu and Dravida Prabhu. They were the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust team who finished the 10th canto, the 11th canto, and the 12th canto on behalf of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada empowered them to finish. So we'll be studying there. That's our primary literature. Also, we'll be using Sarada Darshini. This is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Now, there's 10 or 12 commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the 10th canto has a number of commentaries. We don't have them all available to us, but we have the Sarada Darshini. The Sarada Darshini by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, it's the most, possibly the most comprehensive of all of the commentaries. And it is based upon the commentary of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Srila Sanatana Goswami is one of the direct disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we'll be using this. There's other books which are very beneficial. There's Gopal Champu. These books you can get, or try to get, or if you already have them. Gopal Champu is by Jiva Goswami. Gopal Champu is like an essential, like, synopsis of Krishna's pastimes. Even in the more condensed form, than the 10th canto. He takes the pastimes in the few verses he describes. This is very powerful, very good. So you can read this at the same time. This will also be very helpful. There's also Ananda Brindavan Champu. That's by Kavi Karnapur, who is also a follower of Lord Chaitanya. And he has also written, and he gives more details, the same pastimes in the 10th canto, he gives more details on those pastimes. So then you'll be able to read and you'll be able to understand more details. So I'll try to bring as much as I can. And then I expect all of you to bring as much as you can. Just like when there's a picnic and everyone has to bring some prasadam. So you should also be studying. Don't waste your time. What's been happening for the last 12 or 13 years is generally devotees. I do most of the study. I come, I speak, and you write notes. That's basically what's been happening. And many devotees tell me they don't have time to read, or they're not finding time to read, or they're not reading. Right? So it's being very reliant on the facilitator. But you need to get serious. This is the 10th canto. This could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. That's the way I'm seeing it. I'm probably only going to facilitate this once. As Burujan Prabhu said, you only learn it when you teach it. I'm probably only going to do this once in my life. And this will be for the next maybe 4 years or so. So I'm going to be studying a lot. I'm going to be reading. I'm going to be going through all the detail. I'm going to get as much out of it. Why? Because it's for me. I want to purify myself. And then I'll share whatever I get to you. Right? And you need to do the same thing. Don't waste this opportunity. Don't come to class without reading. Try to keep up with your reading. Right? And many times I've told the famous pastime where Prabhupada said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj in the final days, 1977, and Prabhupada was leaving this world. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was his personal servant. And then he said to Tamal Krishna Maharaj one time, he said, "Are you reading my books?" And Tamal Krishna Maharaj just looked at Prabhupada in amazement. "Prabhupada, how can I be reading your books? I'm sleeping 6 hours or less a day, chanting my rounds, taking a little bit of prasadam, taking bath a couple of times a day, and the rest of the time I'm just serving you." And Prabhupada said, "You need to eat less and sleep less." And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was just like amazed. He was thinking, "How is that even possible? I can cut down even less." And Prabhupada said, "It requires practice." But Prabhupada was emphatic that we should be reading his books. And I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, even though he got Prabhupada's association very intimately, he was with Prabhupada a lot. He's one of the people who got Prabhupada's association more than anyone. But I remember he said one time that even Prabhupada's personal association did not replace reading his books. Even being with Prabhupada didn't replace reading Prabhupada's books. In other words, we have to read Prabhupada's books. And if you don't have time, because everyone feels like they don't have time, we all feel like that, "Oh, where's the time?" And eat less and sleep less. That was Prabhupada's solution. You got time to eat, and you got time to read. And you have to make time. So make time. Just work your life out in such a way. It means we have to become more serious in Krishna consciousness. So my meditation for the next few years is going to be to become more serious in Krishna consciousness. So it means I'm going to be pushing myself to read more, study more, and take advantage of this opportunity. Don't lose the opportunity. Don't not take advantage of this opportunity, because like I said, it might only come once in our life. So study the 10th canto now, try to understand it now. And as Prabhupada said, the 10th canto is non-different from Krishna. And Prabhupada says in the first canto, in the third chapter, in one purport, Prabhupada says, you will get all the benefit of Krishna's personal association by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam. By reading the Bhagavatam, you'll get all the same benefit as directly associating with Krishna. It is non-different. So we should take advantage of this. So everyone try to be as serious as you can. On the point of punctuality, thank you for reminding me. Leela Maya, if you're going to come, look at me now, because I'm speaking directly to you. No, look at me, because I'm speaking directly to you. I'm serious. No, look, because I'm serious right now. Please look. Okay. Don't come late. Okay. If you're going to come later than 7:45, which is 25 minutes ago, don't come. Okay. because it will disrupt my mood. I'm in a different mood this year.
Okay.
Studying. So if anyone's going to come late, if you're going to come late, you need to come and speak to me. Right? But it should not be a regular thing. Because right? I need to get into a particular mood when I'm doing this. And if you are going to come late, then just listen to the lecture. The Prabhus, they record the lectures. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu uploads it. You can listen to the lectures, but if you want to be in this room, you have to be on time. Don't come late. Okay? Because we need to create a proper mood here. And the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Particularly the 10th canto is non-different from Krishna. So you can't go into the deity room whenever you want. Mangalati is at 4:30. You can't go in at 1:45 and say, oh, now I'll start doing the aarti, because it doesn't work like that. So the same way with the 10th canto, this is Krishna himself. So if you're coming late, you're holding Krishna. Because his pastimes are manifesting. So if Krishna's pastimes are, you can't just walk in halfway and say, oh, sorry, I got sidetracked down the back of Vrindavan. You know, a bullock cart overturned or something like that. You can't, you know. Because Krishna, when Krishna performs his lila, all the devotees are there on time. Everyone's waiting for Krishna to arrive. So you should be there. And Radhanath Swami says this, when we go to take darshan of the deities, we should be there before the curtains open. You know, we all come in, I do it myself, we all come in after the curtain, you know, we all go running. But the mood should be, we're waiting there for the curtains. We're waiting for Krishna. When the curtains open, Krishna should say, oh, you're there. Not the curtains open, everyone's still running around and, you know, turning on the Govindam prayers and picking up the mats and everything like that. That's actually not the best level of service. We should be more, so be conscientious. Okay, so we'll hand out the course material. Rohini, just hand it. So this is your study guide. Just get to the purpose.
Yeah.
And then get to the Prabhus. This will be for the first 2 years. So I think it goes up to chapter 48. So that'll be enough to get you through this year. Try not to lose this because it will be advantageous for you. Yeah, I'll take one. Everyone else? And also, we'll give out these now as well. Just hand these out to you. So, we will be using this book. It's handy for your studies, preparing for your exam and your studies. So it goes up to chapter 48. That will be this year. This year I aim to get around to around chapter 22. Also, that will be the target we'll be aiming for. So it means 8, 16, like that. So around about every 8 chapters there will be an exam, same as previously. I'll give you the key memory verses probably next week, and I'll give you the open book topics. So exams will be the same, but we'll probably go through around about 8 chapters at a time for each exam. So you can use that. So we'll open up onto the first page, page 1. And Joyce, you can read the... No, it should be the...
This study guide is dedicated to His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were standing in the midst of darkness, ignorance. So we should not simply publish this book for reading by outsiders, But our students must be well versed in all our books, all of our books, so that they can be prepared to defeat all opposing parties in the matter of self-realization. Letter to Hamza Dutta, Los Angeles, 3rd of January, 1969.
So Prabhupada is saying we should not simply publish these books to distribute, we have to read these books. He said to the devotees on a number of occasions, I think he said it here in Melbourne also, that we should know what's in the books. We shouldn't just go out and give them to people. And Prabhupada was imitating a book distributor on the street. And Prabhupada said, here, here, take the book. And then Prabhupada was playing himself and the person who he was taking from. So he was being the book distributor and the person receiving the book. He said, here, here, take the book. And then he said, what is inside the book? And then Prabhupada said, I do not know. Just take it, it's good for you. And the person was, well, why are you giving it to me if you do not know what is in the book? So what is the point of distributing all of Prabhupada's books if we don't know what's in the book ourselves? So we should study the books carefully. As Prabhupada said on different occasions, you should know the books the same way the Christians know the Bible. Or you should know the books like the lawyer knows the law book. In that same way. That should be our comprehension. So we have to become scholars. Prabhupada said, Bhakti Vedanta. That's Prabhupada's title. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta. He said that is the family name. All of us should inherit this name. Bhakti Vedanta. Prabhupada said that before someone takes Brahman initiation, then he should have the Bhakti Shastri degree. Hands up if you have the Bhakti Shastri degree. Hands up if you don't have. Okay. Okay, then you should get it. You should get the degree, the Bhakti Shastri degree. These days in ISKCON you can get it online, or you can get it live. You know, we have courses in the temple also. But you should have the Bhakti Shastri. Prabhupada said if you're a Brahmin, or if you want to take Brahmanism, you should have it. And then he said, if you want to take sannyas, hands up if you want to take sannyas. Good. Anyone else? Okay. So if you want to take sannyas, then you have to have the Bhakti Vaibhav degree, Prabhupada said. So many of you have the Bhakti Vaibhav degree, so you may become sannyasis. And then Bhakti Vedanta is even a further study. Prabhupada said this is the family title. So in one sense, Prabhupada is telling us to complete the study of the Bhagavatam entirely. And then Bhakti Sarvabhauma, that hasn't even come in ISKCON yet. No one's teaching that yet. It doesn't exist in ISKCON as yet. And I'm very scared because I don't want to get there and no one else has taught it. Because we need some advanced devotees to go through it and then to leave lectures. I'm listening to Burujan Prabhu's lectures now on the 10th canto to try to get as much comprehension as I can. And then there's other advanced devotees, Radha Govinda Maharaj and Danadas Swami and Madhavananda Prabhu and different devotees who have spoken on the 10th canto. So you should listen as well as much as you can to understand the pastimes. So Prabhupada is saying that we should know his books so that we can defeat anyone. Whether or not they accept defeat, that's another thing. But at least we should know the philosophy so perfectly and so well. Okay. So, if you look at your piece of paper that you got, that was the handout that you all received. So these are from the Krishna Lila Stava. This is also a very powerful book. And it's called Krishna Lila Stava by Srila Sanatana Goswami. So this book has five shlokas or prayers to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, you can, if you so desire, before you study the Bhagavatam, you can recite these prayers. It's like a way of worshipping the Bhagavatam. Very powerful prayers. If you enter into the meditation or the meaning of these prayers, they're extremely powerful. so we can chant the Sanskrit together. Sava Shastra Abdi Puyusha Sava Vedaika Satfala Sava Siddhanta Ratnadya Sava Lokaika Dvigprada Sava Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabhu Kali Dvanto Dita Dicya Sri Krishna Parivatita. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures, O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas, O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions, O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world, O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned amongst us. So this is written by Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana and Rupa Goswami, they were the governors of Nawab Hussein Shah. They were in charge of the government. Prabhupada says that Sanatana Goswami was the prime minister and Rupa Goswami was the, I think he was the treasurer of the government. They were very, very powerful ministers. And they were where Mayapur is. If you go north of Mayapur, there's a place called Ram Kaili, which is quite a way north in Bengal. And they were the running the government in that whole northern part of the state. So they went to this place, and they kept brahmanas with them. And they were serving the brahmanas and feeding the brahmanas, maintaining the brahmanas. So there was an assembly of devotees and brahmanas. And they would come together regularly with Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and study the Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Nawab, he was wondering, what are they doing? They're right up there in Ram Kaili. And they created a Gupta Vrindavan. They made a Radhakund and a Shyamakund, and they created like a new Vrindavan, a very sacred place. That place is still there, Ram Kaili, you can go there. And they were studying the Bhagavatam. The Nawab, he was thinking, what's happening? The government is not being run as efficiently as it should be. So he sent, actually he went himself to see what was going on. Sanatana Goswami was there with all of the brahmanas, and they were studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was running the government as much as he needed to. And most of his time he was spending studying the Bhagavatam. So he wrote these verses in glorification of the Bhagavatam. So he says, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. So the Bhagavatam says itself in the very beginning that it is the cream of the Vedic knowledge. It is the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literature. So there is nothing more quintessential or nothing more. It is called the Veda Sara, which means the essence of all the Vedic knowledges. That is the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the most perfect of all scriptures, and it contains the essence which the other scriptures do not give. And what is that? That is Krishna's pastimes directly, particularly in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. This is not found as perfectly in the other scriptures. Our most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas are you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions. O you who grant spiritual vision to the people of the world. So the Bhagavatam says this in the first canto, third chapter. Now the sages ask, where will we get light? In the Kali Yuga. Where will people be able to see? How will they be able to see? Now that Krishna himself has left the world has become dark. And the Bhagavatam itself says that light will come in this age of Kali from the study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you study Bhagavatam, I know for myself, when I study Bhagavatam, my life is full of light. Because materially it is dark. My family is fighting. Friends are fighting. The world is falling apart. My computer doesn't work. My knee doesn't work. Everything. There's so many problems. And this world is only full of problems. But when you study the Bhagavatam, what takes place? Right? Even though you're amongst all those problems, you feel light. And you feel spiritual satisfaction. Krishna says in Gita, Pushanticha, Brahmanticha. Krishna says that you will get nourishment, you will get satisfaction by studying the Bhagavatam. So that is the system. The system is that we study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And even though the material world around us is distasteful, we will feel detached from it. And actually myself, I know in the last week, things are coming up in my personal life, in the material world. Because you have a material body, so you have contact with the material energy, and then so things are happening. And I was thinking to Krishna, because I knew this course is coming. And I'm meditating. I want to facilitate the course nicely so all the devotees can get benefit, so I can get benefit, so Krishna will manifest as much as he can. And then I was thinking, there's so many distractions happening around me in my life. Things which are distracting me. And then I was thinking to Krishna, I was driving up here, and I was thinking, Krishna, why are you doing this now? Finally, we got to the 10th canto after all these years. Why don't you make it easy? So that I can just, focus without all these distractions. But then the realization I'm getting is that there must be distractions, because then the distractions are like an obstacle which you must choose either to focus your consciousness on or focus your consciousness on Krishna. Right? Because you see when the gopis, not that any of us are gopis, but when the gopis had to go to Krishna, they had to give up so many things. There were so many obstacles to overcome. And each one of us will face this. You'll see that your material life, if you do this course, your material life will get more intense. And you will go through greater tests. And this will actually happen in front of your eyes. So be prepared. Don't think this will make everything will become easy. No? Krishna will test us. And materially, things will become more difficult around us. But spiritually, we will become more and more satisfied as we focus on Krishna. I remember when we studied Canto 7, that was a few years ago. And in Canto 7, we have the appearance of Nisringadev. And I remember I said to the devotees, when you study this pastime, be very careful, because Lord Nisringadev will take so much away from you. So by the end of the year, my marriage was gone. I actually experienced that. Lord Nisringadev, he'll take those things which are like a material impediment or an attachment, and he will rip them. And these things can be very painful. Because materially speaking, we're very attached to this material world. But he will rip these things. So you'll see in the 10th canto, this is what will happen. Our material life will get more intense around us. And we'll have only one shelter, which is to study the Bhagavatam. Take shelter of Krishna. This will be our only. So things will become more intense. We'll experience this. I'm experiencing it already because Krishna's giving me this realization. Because I'm thinking, why is it it's becoming like this? Because Krishna is saying, do you want to focus on that? Or do you want to turn back to me and focus on me? Because there's only one turn. I was listening actually on the way up in the car, I was listening to Burajan Prabhu. And Burajan Prabhu said, the problem is not material desires. The problem is material existence. Because we are in the material world. We are away from Krishna. So there must be problems. We can't avoid the problems. There must be problems. Dukkala ya shashvatam. There must be problems. Because we're away from Krishna. So we must experience difficulty. So the Bhagavatam is our only shelter. So that's why it's called 10th canto, Ashraya, take shelter. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. So for the devotees, there is nothing more relishable. Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam, Amalam, Yad, Vaishnavanam, Priyam. The Bhagavatam says itself, Vaishnavanam, Priyam. It is Vaishnava Priya. Nothing is more dear to the devotees than the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the life of the devotees. Prabhupada said, of the morning program, two elements the most important, Mangalarti and the Bhagavatam class. And one time Prabhupada was giving class in Mumbai, in Juhu, and devotees were not there. And then Prabhupada said, "Where is everyone?" And they said, "They're cleaning your room, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "We can pay people to clean the room. You cannot pay people to listen to the Bhagavatam. Tell them to come immediately." So when Bhagavatam has been spoken, you must hear. And of all of the seva that the disciple renders to the guru, the most important is hearing the Bhagavatam from the guru. That is the highest service, just to sit and listen to the guru speak Bhagavatam. So it is Vaishnava Priyam. And when you have Vasudev Katha Ruchi, when you have taste, you cannot miss the Bhagavatam. You relish the Bhagavatam. I remember when I was a new devotee, and I just joined the temple, and then I used to come to Bhagavatam. I could not miss the Bhagavatam class. These days I'm like, if I make it, I make it. But, back then I could not miss it. I was just in there every day, just listening, just relishing. Sometimes we're more eager when we're young devotees than we are now. You think back when you were a young devotee, you were so enthusiastic. You love chanting japa. You love going to Bhagavatam class. You love prasada. These days, we fall asleep. We don't have the same relish. But if you want to relish the Bhagavatam, you have to have Vasudev Katha Ruchi. You have to have a deep taste. So we have to deepen our taste. We have to pray that we get a deeper taste now. O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. So this is from the first canto, third chapter, famous verses. So Sanatana Goswami is taking the essence from the Bhagavatam. Okay, next verse. Paramananda Pataya Prema Vashya Sharayate Savada Savasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. You are always to be served by everyone, for you are the incarnation of Lord Krishna. So by studying the Bhagavatam, you will get Premananda. Paramananda. Just like when we worship our guru. When we do deity worship, there's one shloka. What is that verse? What's the first word now? It's slipping out of my head. I chant in the morning when I do my puja. Paramananda, Premananda, Sivaya, Prajananda, Pradananda, Sivayana. Can't think of the first word. Did anyone know that shlok? We do the deity worship to the guru. Paramananda, Premananda, Prajananda, Pradananda, Sivayana, Yojana. What's the first word? Sri Guru, Paramananda, Premananda, Sivaya. It's not coming to my head for some reason, I don't know. Usually when I chant it in the morning, I chant it in a particular way. But for some reason it's not coming. But it says that the guru gives you Paramananda. Paramananda means the supreme bliss. And what is the best service that we can render to the spiritual master? Hearing the Bhagavatam, studying the Bhagavatam. So when you do, you will get Paramananda, Premananda. Premananda means the ananda of prema. Brajananda. Brajananda means the ananda which is experienced in Braj, which means Vrindavan. Brajananda. So, how do we get this? By seva. By service. And what is the best service? To hear the Bhagavatam. That is the... Yeah. Shigeru... Shigaro Paramananda Premananda Phalapratya Phalaprata Prajananda Pradananda Sevayama Niyojaya. So it means Pradananda. Pradananda means what he was giving Ananda. So the Guru is giving us this Ananda, all this bliss. And as we hear, the best service is to just hear the Bhagavatam. That is the best service you can do to Guru. Because then you'll become purified. And if we're purified, our service becomes more
potent.
Our preaching is much more potent. That's why you have to read and study. I know myself, when I read and study, then when I preach, it has so much more effect. If I'm not reading and studying myself, I can give classes, but you don't have the same effect on the audience. So we have to study so that then we will get... So that's why we take this course. We take this course so that we can preach to others. And then our classes become so much more effective when we're studying more ourselves. Okay. This is my favorite verse. Madeka bandhu matsangin madguru man mahadana manishtaraka madhagya madananda namostute. O Srimad Bhagavatam, O my only friend, O my companion, O my teacher, O my great wealth, O my deliverer, O my good fortune, O my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. This is the most powerful, for me this is the most powerful verse. I like to read this verse quite often. I'm keeping this on my desk. So when I prepare the Bhagavatam, I'll be reading these verses. But especially this verse, this is the one that gives me the most reciprocation. This is the one when I try to dive into the right consciousness. Because if you're not in the right consciousness, when you study the Bhagavatam does not reveal itself to you. And what is the right consciousness? You have to have humility. And if you have the right consciousness, the Bhagavatam reciprocates and becomes alive. So we say, O Bhagavatam, O my only friend. Who else is our friend in this world? Only the devotees. Krishna, the Bhagavatam, the Holy Name, the Didi, the Dham. There's no other friends. No one else is your friend. Everyone who is materially related to you, they're not your friend. They can't give you what you actually need. They're not reciprocating on the level of the soul. The family is only reciprocating on the level of the body. Just like on Friday night, we had a preaching program at my mother's house in Torquay. So that was nice, because then my mother and I were, it was only the two of us before people came, about 11 people came, Western people came. We did a preaching program. We gave kirtan and prasadam and gave some class. So then my mother and I were reciprocating on a spiritual platform, because it's just the two of us there and we're getting everything ready. And she says, what are you going to talk about? And I'm like this. And, and then the people came and then she looked after them very nicely. And and then the relationship becomes meaningful. Otherwise, if you're just relating on the platform of the body, there's not a taste there. For the devotees, there's no taste. It feels empty. But if you're relating to the person on the spiritual platform, it becomes relishable. So the Bhagavatam is our best friend. I know myself, sometimes when my life is falling apart, I just read the Bhagavatam and I feel shelter. I feel like this person understands me. This is Krishna. But everything else is dry and empty in the material world. And Prabhupada would quote this verse often. Friends, society, friendship, and love. Prabhupada says, these things in the material world, they are like a mirage in the desert. There's one poet, Vaishnava poet. His name was, what was Prabhupada used to say? Vijayapati. He's a famous Vaishnava poet around the time of Jayadev Goswami and the others. And Prabhupada would quote, now, friendship, society, and love. So these things are like mirage in the desert. They just cannot give you any shelter, any reciprocation. The only thing that gives you reciprocation is Bhagavatam, devotional service. Oh, my friend, oh, my companion, oh, my teacher. You must all have the experience, you open the Bhagavatam, and exactly what you read, it's as if the Bhagavatam is speaking directly to you. Exactly what's going on in your life at that moment, the Bhagavatam is preaching to you. Many times I've had this experience. You read, you begin to read one of Prabhupada's purports. It's like Prabhupada speaking straight to you. What's going on in your life, then Krishna is purifying. He's reciprocating. So it is our teacher. The Bhagavatam is alive.
but it's not material.
Oh my great wealth, oh my deliverer, oh my good fortune, oh my bliss, I offer my respectful obeisance unto you. So when we study the Bhagavatam is blissful. It is full of chushanticha, ramanticha. It is full of nectar. And if you get this taste, then you'll lose your taste for the material world. Otherwise, we won't lose our taste. And take this opportunity now, because the 10th canto is a different level of study. It's just like one of the sannyasis, he was saying to me, he said, like, if you go to Vrindavan, Vrindavan is so much higher than the material world. You go into Vrindavan, and then when you're in the Dham, it's like so far away from the material world. But he said that when you're in Vrindavan, if you go to Radhakund, he said that's like climbing up to the top of the mountain. And you feel like when you're at Radhakund, you feel like I'm on top of the mountain. It's like, it's enormous. It's far beyond our comprehension. Yeah. So the Bhagavatam is like that. We have an opportunity now in the 10th canto because we're going to something which is very high or very deep. And because we're going into that, take the opportunity to purify yourselves of your material desires. Krishna is giving you a choice. Do you want to give up your material desires once and for all? Or do you want to continue enjoying in the material world? And if we study seriously, we can give up our material desires. Gradually, but definitely. So take this opportunity seriously and purify your consciousness. Okay, read the last verse.
Asadu sadu dain ati ni chocha taraka anamuncha kadachinam premna hrit kantayospura.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. This is a beautiful verse. Oh, giver of saintliness to the unsaintly. So we feel like that. We feel unsaintly. But Bhagavatam can make us into saints. Oh, uplifter of the fallen, don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Manifest in our heart and manifest in our throat. In other words, preach to others. That's the point. Don't keep this all for yourself. But give it to others. Give this experience to others. And bring as many as you can. If you're going to come every week, if you're going to come every week for this course, then take it seriously. Study properly. Read the books in between. Read Prabhupada's purports in between. Take it seriously. Some devotees are asking if they can come just casually, just to listen. They can also do that. It's no problem. But if you're doing the course properly, then take full advantage of it. Study it properly. And do the exams properly. But the main thing is to study. The exams are just a way to make us study more seriously. But actually, just study very carefully and absorb yourself. Now, there's some quotes by Prabhupada. So again, Marilyn Prabhu, you can read the first quote by Srila Prabhupada.
The following excerpts from Srila Prabhupada's letters stress the importance of scrutinizingly studying the books. I am very much stressing at this point that all of my students shall be very much conversant with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and they should read our books very diligently, at least 1 or 2 hours daily, and try to understand the subject matter from varieties of angles.
So at what points? So what points is Prabhupada making here? There's several important points.
Yeah.
Study scrutinizing, yeah. What's he saying?
At least 1 to 2 hours daily.
1 to 2 hours. Hands up if you study 1 hour a day. 1.5 devotees, very good. Hands up if you study 2 hours a day. So actually, Prabhupada's instruction. Everyone in ISKCON should be studying 1 or 2 hours a day. He says it. He doesn't just say it once either. He says it numerous times. At the moment, I'm probably reading half an hour a day, like minimum. Other days I read more, like when I'm preparing for classes. But I try to do half an hour, like minimum. But there has to be like a minimum quota. Just like you're chanting your rounds every day, so you have to have a minimum quota. So you chant 16, that's like your minimum quota, a couple of hours a day. So reading has to become like that. Try to develop some good habits this year. Like half an hour every day, or if it's 1 hour, whatever your quota is, but try to stick to something. Even if it's 10 minutes, but try to stick to something this year. Become more serious. And then Prabhupada also says, discuss it from varieties of angles. So that's why we have this study group. That's why we have a Bhakti Vedanta course, so we can look at it from different angles of vision. I know when I mark the exams, then I learn more about this section. Because devotees are writing, oh, this, I see it like this and I see it like that. So then I say, yes, now I can understand it more thoroughly. So that's why we study together. Because when you study together, it becomes more apparent. More becomes revealed. Otherwise, you study by yourself, you won't get as much out. But if you come together and study with Vaishnavas, then... Okay, so Rohini, you want to read the next?
So if you study my books very carefully, then I am sure you will find out the means for applying this Krishna consciousness philosophy in all spheres of life. There is no limitation.
So what's Prabhupada saying here? Yeah, very good practical application. That's nice. Yeah, so if you study it carefully, you'll be able to apply it in different spheres of life. You'll know what to do at the right time, right place. When you become more advanced as a devotee, you don't need to consult the guru all the time. Right? An advanced disciple, he knows what the guru wants. And why? Because he studies his books. Right? He reads the instruction, he knows the instructions. You go to the guru to find out important things or make life decisions, or you don't go to the guru for trivial things. So if you study Prabhupada's books, Prabhupada actually said, if you study the books, you'll get all the answers. Everything we need, we get it. And then if there's some clarification, we go to the guru, the senior Vaishnavas. We ask for clarification. But by studying Prabhupada's books, everything will become apparent. Everything will become revealed. To know what to do in all circumstances. Okay, next one. You want to say something?
Yeah, Raja Krishna Prabhu says how that the scriptures are like the guidebooks for people in Kali Yuga who don't know what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah, Krishna says that in the Gita as well. That's good. Sri Chaitanya Prabhu?
Vishnu
Radha Dhanam
is learn from the books more and more. You should inquire about Krishna. Temple life is going on with little chance, little change. But we should become habituated to read the books more profoundly.
What points is Prabhupada? Tell the habit of reading books. Why?
It is very mechanical, though we see that it is so hard. It becomes mechanical over time.
Yeah, because if you want to be a devotee for a long time, hands up, you want to be a devotee for a long time. Right? But do you see many senior devotees around the temple? Right? Prabhu Das, Aniruddha Prabhu, Bhakti Prabhu, there's a few, like senior. There's not many who've been around a long, 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 long time. Why? The way you stay around, if you want to stay around for decades, you have to read Prabhupada's books. That's where the taste is. So if you study Prabhupada's books, you will never become bored. Because Prabhupada himself sees that temple life is day to day. Right? It is going on with a little change. So you might get bored. I come here, same aarti, same devotee giving prasadam every Saturday night. It's like same thing, same thing, same thing. And then you become mundane. You lose your taste. But when you read Prabhupada's books, you never lose your taste. Because there's always more to be relished and understood. So if you study deeply, and Prabhupada says in the first purport of the Bhagavatam, he says we are meant to study all of the books of the previous acharyas. So then you'll never become bored, because there's so much here to study. I haven't studied these three books deeply. You know, I've read some of them, but I'm looking forward to really studying them deeply. And then you always feel enlightened. You've got something to wake up for tomorrow. Otherwise you lose your taste and you will not become enthused in your Krishna consciousness. Okay. So Uddhava Bandhavrahu, you want to read the next?
I recommend you to read books more and more and try to understand the subject matter from different angles of vision and be always discussing it with your born brothers.
And the next one?
You should always be alert in understanding the Shastric conclusions. That will help you. Otherwise, we can be misled by bogus philosophies. I am very pleased that you are studying the books. This will make you happy and successful.
So Prabhupada wanted this, that we don't get misled by bogus philosophies. Because many bogus philosophies come up. Right? We have a big problem, you know, with the Ritvic philosophy. You know, maybe in Australia it's not such a big thing. In India it's a huge thing. You know, it's a huge thing. And it's a complete deviation from Prabhupada's books, from the Parampara. It's a complete deviation. It should never have happened in the first place. No, because it's a apisiddhanta, which means it's a deviation from the actual conclusion of the scriptures. So therefore, why is this happening? Because they don't understand Prabhupada's books properly. It's unfortunate. Because the one who understands Prabhupada's books, he understands what is the actual conclusion. He understands the meaning of parampara. And it's very clear. Krishna makes it very clear. Krishna never says anywhere. Why does he say evam parampara praptam? That's God himself. Why does he say, all of you just become my disciples? Why do we all become Prabhupada's disciples? The whole Ritvic movement is based on everyone becomes Prabhupada's disciple. Why don't we just become Krishna's disciple? Why not? Why not become Lord Chaitanya's disciple? Why not become Bhakti Sant's disciple? Why? It's a deviant philosophy. Krishna himself says parampara. He says there must be a continuation. So why is that continuation broken or stopped? That's a defect. So therefore, we must study Prabhupada's books carefully so we don't become defective in our consciousness. Now there's many. Sometimes you hear devotees say this and devotees say that. Devotees say, oh, like this. You hear these things sometimes. Devotees say, not like Ritvic philosophy, just all sorts of things. Devotees say, you say, where does that come from? Show me this. How do you parallel this guru, sadhana, shastra? Where is your praman? Where is your evidence for this? Everything we say should have evidence in it. So it must be based upon Shastra. Okay, Priya Bhanaprabhu, here is the next.
And you must all study very scrutinizingly all of the books so that when the need arises, you can repeat in your own words with their approval.
And the next one.
The instruction given in my books is supposed to be personal instructions. When we read Bhagavad Gita as it is understood that we are receiving personal instructions of Krishna. No physical barrier is there in the case of spiritual others.
That's interesting. Prabhupada says that. It is supposed to be personal instruction. When we read Bhagavad Gita as it is understood we are receiving personal instructions of Krishna. Right? You're directly hearing from God Himself directly. Now that's why we must hear. And the Bhagavatam, the Gita, Prabhupada always says this, the Gita and the Bhagavatam. When you're reading the Gita, you're directly getting instruction from Krishna. And Prabhupada says that. It is not different from being on the chariot with Arjuna. Now, that is the potency. So when we study the books, we're directly communing with Krishna Himself. We're about to hear about Krishna's intimate pastimes in Braj when he was a child. So we're directly associating with Krishna himself through the medium of Guru. So it's an amazing situation. Both we're hearing as followers of Guru and directly we're associating with the Lord himself. So Priya, you want to read the next?
In my book, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is explained fully. So if there is anything you don't understand, then you simply have to read again and again. By reading daily, the knowledge will be revealed to you. You may please me the most by reading my books and following the instructions.
So that's interesting. Prabhupada said this. This particular statement comes from 1974. And Prabhupada said this before that also. He said, you just read the books again and again. ISKCON was very young at that time. The oldest devotees in ISKCON would have been 8-year-old devotees. The oldest. Our gurus would have been 6-year-old devotees. Most of the devotees would have been 3 or 4-year-old devotees. And so what was Prabhupada's point? Prabhupada's point was there wasn't senior devotees around to instruct them. Prabhupada himself was always traveling, or he's in India. You know, you didn't see Prabhupada much. Not like these days. These days you can see someone give a class live, streaming live from Mayapur, or you can watch classes live or like that. Back then, they didn't even know where Prabhupada was exactly all the time. You know, by the time they got the messages where Prabhupada was and what he was doing. So Prabhupada said, you have to read the books again and again. And he said, then all of the answers will come. Now we're much more fortunate because now we have so many senior devotees in our movement worldwide, right? In this temple, right? We have so much opportunity. We can go to devotees, we can get instruction. Back then, there wasn't so much opportunity. So Prabhupada said, just read the books again and again and again and the answers will come. It's a little bit more simple now because you can read it, you don't have to read it again and again and again and again. We should read it again and again and again, but we can read it a couple of times. If we don't understand something, you go to the devotee, you ask, he will give you the answer. But back then, devotees didn't know. They'd ask each other, what does this mean? I don't know, I've only been a devotee for 3 years. I don't know what it means. So you'd have to probably just keep reading it and it will come. But now we're in a much more fortunate position. Okay, so tomorrow night we'll go through Canto 9 and we'll do an overview of what took place. The Canto 9 discusses the dynasty of the Suryavamsh and the Chandravamsh, leading into Krishna's pastime, Krishna's appearance. And then next week on Monday we'll begin the 10th Canto itself. Just one point on the fees for this year. This year the regulation will be you need to pay the fees weekly. Right? You can pay $5 a week or $10 a week, as you like. Right, but you must pay each week. Right, as you come to class, just like if you go to a course, you pay when you arrive. So you give the money weekly, like that. Because last year, because I give the money to the temple, and I get maintained by the temple, part of my maintenance comes from the funds which the course gives. I give to the temple, then they give it back to maintain me. And last year, not all the devotees were paying their fees, so it means I have to get to the temple. They don't have enough, like that. Basically we're taking the money from Radha Balava, which is not the way it should be. So you're welcome to come, but if you're coming to the course, then you give the fees on a regular basis. Because otherwise, at the end of the year, devotees don't pay, and then it's not functional. It's not the way it should be with the temple. So. Okay. So tomorrow night, Canto 9, and next week we'll begin Canto 10. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Bhakti Vedanta ki.